All right. Well, I am super excited because we're going to be solving an age-old debate of, is it possible to make passive income, or at least semi-passive income, on Amazon? So to be talking about that, we're going to be going into other ways that you can make revenue and income and profit on Amazon. And so I am super excited because I'm not going to be here all by myself. I'm going to bring my guest on here, add him to the stage. We've got Ryan Hoga. So Ryan, thank you for joining us.
Yeah, Kevin, thanks for the opportunity to be here, man. I had to fix my camera real quick. It's like angled down. I'm still getting used to this YouTube thing after 5 years.
So for folks who are not familiar, you do have a YouTube channel where you talk about things Amazon, but you go in a little different direction than we go on here in my Amazon Guy channel. Is that correct?
It is correct. I actually thought I was going to talk about FBA when I started YouTube. Cause that's how I got my Amazon, you know, initial start, the initial exposure. And I still do FBA to this day, but the YouTube algorithm has, looked more favorably upon my channel's growth when I talk more Amazon merch than Amazon FBA, but I do love, you know, all the above.
Okay, cool. Cool. So we're going to be talking about merch by Amazon, which some people may be familiar, some people may not be. So we'll get into that here in just a moment as to what that even is, but it is an intriguing concept. Because it's with FBA, or you know, if you're filling by merchant, you're buying inventory, you're buying widgets in the hopes that you sell them later. But you're talking about something where you're not buying widgets on the front end, are you?
Yeah, I mean, when you guys hear about Amazon merch, it's gonna blow your mind. And by the way, it used to be called Merch by Amazon, just so you know.
I'm learning myself. So
yeah, they rebranded it, I think, maybe a year and a half ago or so to
call
Amazon Merch on Demand. So
Amazon Merch on Demand. And so
yeah, we just call it Amazon Merch, but
I am not an expert in any way, shape, or form. So I was actually really intrigued to have this conversation because I sell some products that are, let's say, low daily sales, but you know, you're going after more niches. And so I actually found some of your content digging into this. And then you ended up interviewing our founder, Stephen Pope, on your channel. And I was like, oh, we should definitely have him on to talk a little bit more about this, on because I think our audience would be very intrigued by this as well. So folks, we'll be getting into that here in just a moment. So we got some people excited for the session, so we'll do our best to answer questions as they come. But I've got lots of questions that I've been topics that I'm excited to get into. So for folks that are not familiar with by Amazon Merch on Demand, formerly known as Merch by Amazon, exactly what is this program?
Yes. So, and by the way, I'm not affiliated with them. I've just been using it since early 2017, just to be clear.
Oh yeah. And my Amazon guy, we're not affiliated with Amazon either.
But you guys are going to love hearing about it. I literally stumbled across it on Reddit, you know, back in 2016. Someone was like, yo, y'all need to know about this Amazon merch thing. It's crazy. Amazon will essentially allow you, if you are accepted into the program, first things first, you have to apply. Okay.
We'll get into that in a moment. Okay.
Yeah. If it's accepted, then you can, the door unlocks. Okay. Now you can go to a separate portal. So it's not Seller Central, all right? It's amazon.com/merch or merch.amazon.com, okay?
Okay.
And you will log in there. You'll have a separate login. And when you get in, you'll love it, honestly, because most people, I think that's why my Amazon guy is so popular, right? Because people look at Seller Central and they're like, what is all this?
It's overwhelming. There's so many things you could do.
Yeah, Amazon merch is simple. It's very straightforward. You have like five things you can do there. And really, I mean, there's only one thing you need to do, and that is go to the product creation wizard, which is very like pared down. It's not like going to Seller Central and going to inventory, add product. It's not like that.
Yeah.
It is a single screen. Essentially what you do is we are selling print on demand products. Print on demand, meaning there's a warehouse somewhere that has like a bunch of blank t-shirts stocked, as an example, t-shirts being one product you can do.
Okay.
But they're blank. They won't have my logo on it here. After the sale takes place, they will print the logo in the right, you know, color and size of the shirt and ship it to the customer. They will do all of this for us. And they have warehouses around the world, by the way, and they have the trained employees. They have the highest end equipment that you could ever have. And they have 14 products currently in the catalog. So if you get into Amazon merch, you can literally sell Prime eligible, sold by Amazon. Okay. It's not sold by you or me. It's sold by Amazon. So we know how much that helps.
Sure.
Enhanced brand content or A+ content, whatever we're calling it.
Okay.
On all of our listings to 7 international Amazon marketplaces. And we get paid a royalty every time it sells. And we do not have to do anything. No customer service, no fulfillment, no updating tracking, no worrying about inventory. I mean, it is insane.
So basically this is a program where it's print on demand. So instead of you send in your widgets with an FN SKU or whatever, and then Amazon will put it somewhere on the shelf. And once a customer orders it, a robot pulls your inventory off the shelf and sends it to the customer. You're saying they have a variety of products that you just upload basically a design and the product description, essentially. And then they take it from there when someone buys it, because rather than you having to print all the shirts or whatever, they print them for you when somebody demands it and buys it.
Yes. Yes. Literally. Yes. I mean, there's a little bit more to it, but the little bit more to it is more optional than anything else. Like, you can control what colors to make available for your design. You can control the price points within reason. They do set a floor cost.
Okay.
Right. Because they have their own costs that they have to cover. So
sure.
There is like a break even price point of where essentially like you can generate sales and make no money. And that's, you know, maybe you would do that if you're trying to sell Eclipse shirts ahead of the Eclipse, right? You want to rank really high and then up your price at the last second, that sort of a thing. And what's interesting about it, and I don't know if this was going to be a question, I don't want to jump the gun, but there is a tier system. They reward you as you're successful. They reward you with the ability to create more products. And as that comes, you also get access to advertising eventually. So of course that opens the whole door there.
Okay. Got it. So it kind of operates a little bit like Seller Central Lite. And you said there's 14 products that you could basically add your designs, your creativity, so to speak. Now, t-shirts you used as an example, and that's the one they're kind of been famous for. Like, what are other examples of things you could sell?
Yeah. So when I started, by the way, it was really just 2 products in the catalog and only US market. So they've really been expanding this thing like crazy. Today, you've got, you know, 2 types of t-shirts, the same 2. Mm-hmm. They added V-neck shirts, tank tops, long sleeve, sweatshirts, a pullover hoodie and a zip hoodie. Then they get into like more kind of accessory type products. Like there's a tote bag and a pillow. There's Android and Apple phone cases. And there's phone pop sockets. Those things that go on the back of a phone case.
Okay, that's interesting. Got it. So there's a variety of products that they sell. And you don't have to buy the inventory ahead of time. So let's go back in time. How did you end up wanting to even look into this? Because you said you started with FBA and then you found this. So can you walk us through that?
Yeah, for sure, man. Like, I used to be a web developer and I had a web development side hustle and I taught web development, right? So I've always been kind of like, let me kind of learn a valuable skill and make as much money as possible. You know what I mean? That was kind of always my approach. It just made logical sense to me. But then I realized I don't want to work 9 to 5 anymore. So then my passive income journey kind of started. And that was like really 2016, maybe even 2015. I started kind of thinking about it and trying, but like trying and failing, not figuring out, you know, FBA is, it's intimidating. I ended up having to pay a coach to get me through the whole process, but it was well worth it. I'm still, you know, still doing it today. So, and with FBA, and me and my coach would meet once a week, but once a week was like a good pace, but you know, I got plenty of downtime to fill as a web developer. So I'd sit there, look at the Make Money Online subreddits. You know, I used to like have 5 little phones running these apps that would literally just play ads all day and make you money. You know, I used to just try whatever. I'm that guy.
Right.
And I heard about Amazon merch and I applied, right? Because to this day, you still have to apply. Mm-hmm. I never heard back. I completely forgot about it. Okay. Fast forward. That was October of 2016. I applied. Okay. Fast forward. Like, I think it might've been February or March, 2017. Came across it again. I said, you know what? I'm going to apply again. See what comes of it. Ended up getting accepted. And that really, I mean, looking back, was a huge like life-changing moment because I've made a lot of money through Amazon merch and gotten a lot of like notoriety and exposure through the success I've been able to achieve there. But it's still, I mean, it's even better today. Like it shows that they really are invested in expanding this program. Like I said, it was 2 products, only US market initially. Now it's 14 products and they're on 7 international markets. And it's just as passive today as it was then.
Okay, got it. So it's like FBA in the sense there's no fulfillment. except you just don't have to buy the inventory ahead of time. So you mentioned, and you've hinted at this, and this is an issue I had when I applied for, at the time, Merch by Amazon. There's an application process. So walk us through, what is the application process look like? Is Seller Central, like, you're kind of approved as long as you just don't screw anything up?
Yeah. Unfortunately, it's not really like that on Amazon Merch. Look, I'm more of a straight shooter. I'm just going to keep it real. Cause like, you can find a lot of videos coaching you through how to apply and increase the odds of getting in. Amazon Merch is notoriously hard to get into, especially since, by my estimates, like late 2021, early 2022.
Okay.
Unfortunately, like since then, it just feels like way less people get in. Right. So I'm just being honest. Like, I love talking about it, but if we all go apply, like, a small percentage, like a small fraction of us are going to get in. And I am very strongly of the belief that no human is on the other end of these, like, reading the application. So it's one thing to be like, you know, go practice, set up an Etsy shop,
sure,
and then tell them you know what you're doing. Like, I really don't think it matters. Like, I wouldn't say that unless I was like quite certain. So you kind of just hit next and just answer the questions, and then it'll say you'll hear back from us. And it could be a day, it could be a week. I think they kind of batch answer. So like everybody is going to hear back the same time for that application cycle.
Okay.
And but the good thing is you can start another free Amazon account and apply again if you get rejected.
Okay, so that's interesting. So okay, let's take my own situation. So I applied a couple years ago. Now, I applied right before Q4. I don't know if that would have been an issue. So
during Q4 is definitely not the best time, but before, I think you're okay. But during like December and stuff like that, they've literally like shut stuff down in December, because this is going back like 2018, 2019. Sure. I think since 2020, there hasn't been issues, but they've literally like shut stuff down, like stopped us from creating new products, or even like throttled our listings from being shown in results because they just weren't ready for the demand.
Okay. Got it. So hopefully they're more ready for the demand, because I'm sure they want the money themselves.
Yeah.
And they're basically, in essence, outsourcing designers. Now, you said that there's, you know, an application, sometimes you just click next. Like, is it questions like, you know, what is your business? Or is it questions like, upload a design so we can see what your skills are like? Is there anything like that?
Yeah, well, unless it changed recently, they don't do anything like that. They will ask you about your level of experience, though. So if you think it'll help to, you know, fudge it a little bit, like, there's no verification about like if you're the world's best designer or the world's worst. So there's, you know, you could do that, but I don't think it matters ultimately, honestly.
Now, do they care if it's you personally, or like, what if you have a design team, or if you have a VA designer on staff?
So this is why, like, I don't want to misrepresent something I can't verify, but I'm the networks of
people. From your experience, from what you've seen, your opinion here.
Yeah. I know that, like, I know through other people that know firsthand that, there's definitely, I think you would be better off if you have a team and you, or you have like some intellectual property. That's probably the best way to get in, honestly, is if you have some like licensable intellectual property that looks legit or like is legit, you can just contact them. Okay. And then you'll get probably the white glove treatment, where they will even start you out in higher tiers. Like, when you start out, you can upload 10 designs. As you achieve success, they'll give you the ability to upload more designs to more products. But I also know that, like, people, like, they also work directly, by the way, with like Marvel, you know what I mean? Disney, sure. MTV, they work directly with some major brands. So they've got a team that's like just out there trying to ink those deals as well. But even like smaller intellectual property deals, like, I'm sure that would be your better route if you have like trademarks and stuff.
Got it. So if you have a trademark for your brand, like, let's just use the example, because a lot of people listening to this would have a trademark that their brand registered for. Would they want to incorporate their existing brand registry trademark from Seller Central, or does that really matter? It's more like, is there some sort of branding intellectual property that they're looking for?
Yeah, no, that would be an interesting way of potentially getting in with a like guarantee. You know, I can't speak to it firsthand because I've been in so long, and I'd never messed around with like having a second account. I just don't want to risk anything, you know?
Sure.
But like, because you can reach out, it might be worth just trying to represent yourself as like a brand with brand authority, brand registry, history of sales, and show, like, say I have trademarks, you know, and I don't know what the response would be, but that to me is a better, in terms of statistical odds of getting in, like a better approach. And yeah, like I like that idea a lot.
Okay, got it. So it sounds like there's an application, and the application might be somewhat more of a lottery than anything. So people, it's not like they're looking at your SAT scores or your design skills or some sort of tangible something. They're just somewhat making decisions. If you go through the regular route, you could potentially reach out to them. Now, like, do they have like, is you putting like a help desk ticket on their website for
I believe if you're, see, I haven't done it like where I haven't tried it, but I know that like the contact us mechanism is there, and I'm pretty sure you can do it without having been accepted. So I would go that route. I did want to mention something, right? Like, sure. I'm not like super plugged into the application process just because like,
sure,
you know, it's been 7 years I've been in, but I did hear rumblings recently that, you know, if you're familiar with the Amazon Influencers program, which by the way is amazing, it might actually be easier money than Amazon merch, no joke, which is saying something because Amazon merch is amazing. But I heard that if you're in Amazon Influencer program, that it increases the odds of getting into Amazon merch. So that might be something worth considering.
Okay. Now, if somebody gets denied, how often should they reapply? And is it better to create new free Amazon account or just keep using the same account?
Yeah, great question.
From what you've heard.
Yeah, yeah. You would want to reapply immediately under a new Amazon account. They will not like show you the application button once you've been denied. It just won't be there. So you'll be forced to kind of open up a new free Amazon account and apply. You know, I know people that have gotten in like 13 attempts. I think the record I heard was like 16 attempts.
Oh, wow. So we're talking about, you might have to set up some new email addresses just for merch. Okay.
Yeah. It's definitely been done.
It's been done. Okay. So the point is be persistent, and
it's worth
not
it.
Heard of people having issues because they create like a new account to be able to apply.
No issues there that I've heard.
Okay.
I think you might have to get creative with like ways to get phone numbers attached to the account. I'm not 100% sure exactly how that works. I know Amazon also offers like a authenticator thing. So maybe you go that route.
Got it. So you use the authenticator instead of, you know, getting the text message.
And by the way, Jeffrey had a good question in the comments about, do they offer coffee mugs? Do you mind if I comment on that?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah, I love this question. So they do not offer coffee mugs. And let me tell you a little bit about my print on demand Amazon journey. I realized over time, probably like 6-7 months after I started on Amazon merch. And again, that was only two products, t-shirts, right? They called it standard t-shirt and a premium t-shirt. I don't know what the difference was, but just a different brand, honestly.
One's better.
Yeah, one was more expensive, honestly.
Yeah.
But I realized, like, you know, and I'm on FBA. I'm like, hold up. What if I can do the same print on demand through Seller Central and take my t-shirt designs, which are, you know, a vertical rectangle, and just put them on coffee mugs, which is basically a vertical rectangle. You just duplicate it on both sides. So I literally did that.
Okay.
Like, I was like, ding, that's a really good idea. And I've been doing that ever since, just as another way of, like, I call it just occupying online real estate with products for sale that have automated demand, you know, or automated fulfillment, sorry, automated fulfillment.
Sure.
And that's been a big part of like my, you know, success story, if you will. It's not that I achieved like people love outlier success stories where somebody made, you know, so much money. You know what I mean? Like, somebody was selling Eclipse shirts the other day. Like, I, you know, I'm plugged into the community, right? So I actually talked about this on a YouTube video I released yesterday about how like the top three people that told me their success stories with the Eclipse shirts made so many sales, so much money, definitely outlier success. One guy made over 20 grand because he said he made $2,000 yesterday, just yesterday, $2,000 alone in Amazon merch with Eclipse shirts. Okay. But my story is not a story of achieving that level of outlier success, which is statistically improbable, you know, and it's not like, oh, you've done it once, so you can do it every time now. Of course, it's not like that. So my story is just very methodical approach. I did the work for Amazon merch. Now I'm going to take the same designs, list them on Seller Central on other products that aren't available in Amazon merch, and list them on Etsy, list them on eBay, list them on other platforms, Walmart, et cetera.
Okay, got it. So there's ways that you can repurpose your designs elsewhere. Now, are you making these coffee mugs that you're repurposing, or are you using other channels to do that?
Yeah, there's a couple companies that are like really big, like global names that specialize in this stuff. My preference is a company called Printful. I've been using them since 2017. They have a direct Amazon Seller Central integration, which not a lot of these companies have. I don't know why it's so hard for the print on demand companies to get that integration. So that makes Printful stand out, and you can start today for free with Printful, and you can connect it to Seller Central. It used to be kind of a pain in the ass. Now it's like two clicks to do. So much easier now. And you can start pushing products. I push two products at a time, roughly every 30 minutes. And I've been doing that since 2017. So I've got literally hundreds of thousands of products in my Seller Central account, not even Amazon merch, but Seller Central. And okay, they also just sit there with automated fulfillment.
So, okay, that's interesting. So you have 100,000 SKUs on Seller Central doing a variety of repurposed designs, whether it's coffee mugs, other things. So this is interesting. So one thing I think a lot of people listening to this who have been very much on Seller Central, sometimes people are afraid of doing anything that's even merchant fulfilled, even if they're fulfilling it their own, because they're worried their account's going to get shut down. Have you had or even heard of anyone having issues using Printful or other print on demand services?
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely opening the door to more headaches. I mean, come on. I'd be sure. Lying if I didn't yeah. say that. Yeah, I mean, I almost, the reason I even know about like my Amazon guy and, you know, other agencies was because probably like 2018, it was probably maybe 2019. I don't know. They bleed together now. The years bleed together.
Sure.
But I had a duplicate title in the catalog, which we know is a huge no-no. They threatened to shut down my entire Seller Central account over a single duplicate title, right? And that occurred because of me doing print on demand, not because of me doing FBA. So it's like, yes, you are correct about that. Definitely potentially posing a threat, but like you live and you learn, right? And you've got my Amazon guy, you've got, you know, people that can help you through the process of addressing the issue and getting over it. But yeah. And then intellectual property. I mean, if you want to go sell like a Dallas Cowboys t-shirt or something.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Yeah,
you're definitely be very careful for a big trouble. Yeah.
Yes. Don't use anyone's intellectual property. That's good advice there. So, all right. So basically you got to get through the application process. I was denied at one point, but I should probably try again. Abdullah says I was submitted, but the account was rejected. Asked the question, can I buy account and someone approve me account, please? I'm worried. I wouldn't say ever buy an account. Does that sound like a
Yeah, I mean, there's a whole market for this, like alternative market. You know what I mean? I think that's honestly got something to do with why it's so hard to get in. So I think when that market emerged, the percentages of people getting accepted organically, there was a inverse relationship there. You know what I mean? One market emerged and then the other one went and became extremely hard to do.
Got it. Okay. So let's just assume everybody at some point, maybe they're persistent enough, or at least you've got me excited enough to be persistent with reapplying and whatnot. They get approved. What happens now? They can just load 100,000 SKUs, or is there a limit when you're first getting started?
Yeah. So unlike Amazon Seller Central, where you can get a GTIN exemption, GTIN exemption, so you don't need UPC codes and you can just keep creating products. With Amazon merch, they have a tier system. I actually love it because it's gamified. It's actually fun. Like, people really enjoy it. You start out, you're in tier 10, the lowly tier 10. It's like Amazon merch purgatory. So you can upload. Yeah, you can upload literally 10 designs. That's it. Mm-hmm. And you can. They also put a cap on your daily. They call it like product submissions. Okay. So I think in tier 10, because this changes over time, right? So I could say it today, it could be different tomorrow or a week later. But with tier 10, sure, you can upload your one design, let's say two designs a day, right? Maybe it's two designs a day to a single t-shirt, or you can upload one design to two products. You get what I'm saying? Like, they might cap you at creating two products a day, which could be seen as one design to one shirt twice, or it could be seen as one design to a shirt and a tote bag. You know what I mean? Or a shirt and a sweatshirt. You see what I'm saying?
Got it. So you get 10 designs and then over time you can incorporate those into their portfolio of products.
Yeah. It's a little bit of like, it didn't used to be this complicated, honestly. It didn't used to be that complicated. Maybe I did a bad job explaining, but they cap your tier is the number of unique designs you can sell.
Sure.
And your tier is closely associated with how much money you make. It doesn't mean you can't do really well. Back to the Eclipse example, there was a girl, I think her name was Robin. Sorry if I misremembered, but she made 1,700 sales in tier 10. So she has 10 designs and she made 1700 all Eclipse based, but you know, hey, credit to her. That money is real. You know, the money hitting her bank account is just as real. You know what I mean? But so what she probably did is, let's say that tier 10 allows you to submit two products a day. That's I've seen it that low before. It might be four now. It changes.
Okay. But sure.
If it's, by the way, if it's like December, that might go down to one product a day. Just
right.
To like
reduce right. Because they want to throttle it. They don't want to just have all these, you know, products that they're having to figure out how to make, basically.
Yeah. So she probably submitted an Eclipse design to a standard t-shirt. And then the next day, or let's just say a standard t-shirt and a premium t-shirt. Then the next day she can hit manage on that listing. They let you manage it and go back into the edit screen. And they probably said, now you know, your daily submission is two more products, right? So you can submit another unique design, or you can go into this existing one from yesterday and maybe it's selling really well. So for her, it would make sense to enable that design on a hoodie and a sweatshirt, right? And then the next day she enables it on a pop socket and a phone case. And then she eventually has all 14 products enabled, and you can actually keep going and enable it on the international marketplaces as well. But it just, in tier 10, you're just at a disadvantage relative to people like me that have been at it for years, you know, that are in a much higher tier.
Yeah. Okay. Got it. So how many tiers are there and how do you move up in tiers?
Yeah. So the number of tiers, I don't know if it's exactly known because it has been something that's changed over time. Yeah. But I'll explain like my journey personally. And okay. I think it's not as simple anymore as it used to be. I was lucky. I was fortunate. So I went from 10 to 25 to 100 to 500 to 1,000. Okay. To 2,000, 4,000, 6, 8, 10. Okay. So there's.
Okay.
And this is where I think it gets a little bit more ambiguous. Well, not yet. 10 goes to 20,000. Okay. So 10,000 to 20,000. That's when it gets ambiguous. I went from 20,000 straight to 100,000. So I was very fortunate. And I went from 100,000 to 200,000. So even more fortunate. But I think today most people go from 20,000 to 40,000 and then to 60,000.
And that's design. Right?
Those are unique designs. Yes.
Okay. Got it. So initially it's making sure you have the right design that people would want to buy. Eventually you get into having designs that would, or spending the time on where do you focus the right design. So it sounds like the journey kind of changes if I'm understanding this in merch. Okay. So
definitely.
So what is that somebody would focus on when they first start out in merch and they're at 10 and they can do two products a day? Like, how do they start deciding, okay, the eclipse is over, you know, maybe in August, September, they can focus on election stuff, but in between, do they focus on holidays that come up, like, you know, Father's Day, or do they focus on, you know, something more evergreen or seasonal?
Yeah, I definitely recommend, like, you want to be in the biggest trending niche.
Okay.
And you know, the, like you said, it's definitely that, like, you want to tailor your approach to Amazon merch based on your tier. Cause it's better advice to say, hey, like, you know, Mother's Day's coming, get started 40 or 50 days in advance. Right. But if you're an Amazon merch tier 10, that's not the best advice. You want to be collecting Eclipse sales shirts, right? You don't want to miss out on 1700 tier 10 sales. Because you were prepping for Mother's Day and you completely skipped the eclipse, right? That's terrible, right? So you need to be in the eclipse. And now that those start to wane, you know, obviously Amazon has that BSR, that bestsellers rank that we love, that is an indicator to us of how well products are selling. We can leverage that for niche research. And of course, there's, you know, paid tools that help expedite this. There's some really interesting ones actually that will even look at like submissions in the last 24 hours. So they're looking strictly at new submissions that have sold. Because, you know, Amazon makes those data points visible, right? Like, when was this first published and what's the BSR? And they can actually help you identify emerging trends like right away. Of course, it's not perfect. You have to do some due diligence, but like, that's how you can really give yourself a boost in those early tiers. If you're in the high tiers, I say sell evergreens that can sell any day of the year and just get that recurring, you know, income. And as you get more sales, I like to say one sale leads to two, leads to four, you know?
Got it. So if I understood that correctly, when you're starting out the lower tiers where you've got like 10, you figure out what is the trend that's going on. So like up through yesterday, it was the eclipse for a little while. Something else, who knows? Or, you know, maybe someone I was about to say maybe someone famous gets arrested, but then you got to be careful about that probably because of likenesses and whatnot.
It could be like quotes, right? It could be like a quote from a famous person. Just don't tag the person, right? Like it could be like, oh, they said this sentence. Okay, fine. You can say the sentence, but if you tag their name, it's not going to, you're going to get rejected.
Okay. Now, is it something, and this is probably jumping around topics, but this is probably something that people would be curious about. With intellectual property, where is the line on intellectual property? I'll give an example. I remember somebody one time telling me they bought a shirt that said, I stood on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. And for folks who are Eagles fans, there was a song where it starts out, I was standing on a corner in Winslow, Arizona. Do you have to worry about things like that? Or does the bot care? Or is it more like you don't use like the McDonald's M?
It's gotten a lot stricter over time. Remember, at the end of the day, these listings that we create are sold by Amazon as far as anybody's concerned, right? So you see it on the front end and it looks like Amazon is selling this.
Okay, got it.
That helps us convert, right? But it also means like Amazon's name is on the line and they don't want to deal with any even like crazy lawyer in a courtroom trying to manipulate, you know, and say that this is IP infringement. So like I see it firsthand over the years. Like I monitor literally before we got on this call, I was looking at some recent rejections and just writing a list of them. You know what I mean? Cause I'm noticing like certain words that used to be okay are no longer okay. Like one that I wrote down was the name Angie. Okay. A-N-G-I-E. I have no clue why that got rejected. Okay. Okay. But it got rejected. So now I'm like, okay, I can never use that again. I just have a list. You know what I'm saying? So that got added to the list.
Got it. So when you get rejected, is there concern that like, if you have too many rejections, they're going to shut down your account? Or is it more just like, all right, I can't use that word, so don't waste my time.
It used to be that, you know, too many rejections felt like maybe you'd get your account shut down. I really don't feel like that's the case anymore. If it ever was the case, I feel like it's, when I say you fly too close to the sun, you fly too close to the sun, you know, you're trying to like put, you know, some sports player's number on a shirt and put their nickname in the SEO. You see what I'm saying? Like where it's like very clear who's buying this and that you shouldn't be selling it, but you're hoping that the algorithm lets it through. The algorithm that polices it, by the way, has gotten like so much smarter over the years. Like you cannot mess with, it's not worth messing with it. Just put it that way. It's not worth it.
Yeah. So do things that are more generic or ubiquitous or whatever, like eclipse or election. Like I had a friend of mine a few years ago in the 2020 election, he said he was doing like 500 shirts. He had some design that was doing like 500 shirts a day. I don't think he's ever replicated that again, but you know, it's like he never would have known if he didn't try it. It was something generic. Like it wasn't like a picture of pick whoever the candidates were at the time.
Yeah.
But it was, it did well. So, all right. So you start off, you're looking for trends and maybe that's elections, maybe that's eclipses, maybe it's whatever. Like these trends you see, how long do they generally last? Like what is the shelf life of a trend?
You know, it definitely can vary as you would expect. Like if it's a calendar niche, like you typically see the run. I always like defer to Google Trends, honestly, google.com/trends. That shows you using the best data available, like search interest and how quickly something can dissipate. Like April's autism awareness. And I always use that as an example of like these month long niches can make great opportunities to make sales. But if you just go to Google Trends, you will see that the first week you're going to see the peak demand the first week. And then the other 3 weeks of the month or 4 weeks of the month, it's not even close. You know what I mean? So and that's almost always the case for any niche. That's like a calendar long niche, like a month long niche. If it's like a specific date, you know, obviously the week or two running up to it, you're going to see the best, you know? And, but like also if it's like a new emerging trend, those are the best ones, right? Because those are the ones with no previous competition. And like you said, politics, man, that's a great arena. Like oftentimes it's just a good quote, you know what I mean? That people are seeing news headlines about. You know what I mean? And people get politically charged. You can sell to both sides. You know what I'm saying?
So right, exactly. You don't have to take a side. You can say their money is green either way.
You go to both sides and then you say for against.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and it just, it gives you a matrix of ways to make money.
That's awesome. Okay. So let's talk about timing then. So let's say you mentioned like, if you're looking at trends, like if it's for a month or whatever, it's usually the beginning of the month. So like autism awareness in April. So it's probably too late. If you got today, would you do an autism related, design, or would you start looking into what May's trends are?
Yeah, I'd personally, if I'm in like the low Amazon merch tiers, always be in what is selling best. And there are these paid research tools. You don't always have to pay for tools. Like, you can go straight to amazon.com and just do a search, but you have to be mindful that like, you're going to have to scroll past FBM products that maybe you can't sell on Amazon merch because they do have that very strict approval rejection algorithm. Like the word Angie could be trending, but guess what? Merch is going to reject it if you submit it. You don't have to, right. You may not know why. I don't know why, but, and then you have to scroll past FBM products and you have to scroll past merch products that maybe are IP protected, where the owner of the intellectual property is selling it through merch. So you just have to do a little bit more due diligence.
Okay.
Some of the paid research tools, you just log in. You don't even have to do anything. The default view is just, it shows you the best sellers with the protected stuff filtered out. And if you just do a quick scroll, 30 seconds a day, you start to log in your mind kind of what is working right now. And you see the movements, like this is coming up, this is coming down in its place. Like Eclipse is going to be coming, like falling out of popularity, and
sure,
whatever's next. You know, we have a little bit of a void right now, but like there's usually more micro, you know what I mean? There's like the calendar niches that are predictable, and those often can fill a void. And then there's the emerging stuff. And then there's a lot of evergreen stuff. Like there's a shirt that's a old classic car. It's a worn, distressed look. It's like a just single monotone design, right? It's just gray on a black shirt and it's distressed. And it's a classic car. And it says, I'm not old, I'm classic. That shirt is a bestseller 365 days a year, the same shirt. So that doesn't mean that it's trending, right? It's just one shirt that just does so well all the time, right? And just as an example, like, so in tier 10, maybe you want to throw one of those up and see if it sticks. But also it's like, if you only see one listing in that niche, it might not be indicative of demand for the niche as a whole. It may just might just be a bestseller that maybe they're pumping a lot of ad dollars into as well to rank on generic terms.
Got it. So ultimately you want to have some level of competition, because ultimately you want people searching for it and not just like, this is some influencer who just happens to be using, you know, Amazon, and they're sending, you know, from their, you know, million subscriber Instagram following, every now and then they send people to Amazon. And so it looks like there's demand, but there's not, because nobody else is searching
for it. Yeah.
Okay. So there's a variety of things that could be influencing that. Okay.
And what I like to do, just to be clear really quick, is like, if I see that I'm not old, I'm classic, but I only see one, and I'm just looking at the generic bestsellers, I'll go and I'll search for like what I think the most likely primary keywords are for that shirt. I mean, granted, if it's like a true bestseller like that one, it's got a bunch of them, right, that are driving. But I might just literally type in, I'm not old, I'm classic, into the tool that I'm using or Amazon search bar, and then kind of average out the top 10 BSRs in my mind. Or, you know, if you really want to get a calculator out,
sure, you can do it.
And use that as an indicator, because if you say, I'm not old, I'm classic, top 10 average BSR, and you log it, then you keep doing a little bit more research. If you have the time, it's a good exercise. Do that for a couple other niches. And it becomes kind of clear, because that data point's so valuable that Amazon gives us, where you should be focused, you know, because some are going to be selling more than others.
Okay. So you're looking at the trends and whatnot. And let's say that you're now in a spot where you could get promoted. What are you looking for to get promoted? Like, what is the metric?
Good question. Sorry, I didn't answer that. It's not a definitive concrete data point, but it is roughly 70% of your tier in uploads filled, upload slots filled, and sales. So if you're in tier 10, you're going to need about 7 sales and 7 out of 10 uploads. Does that make sense?
Got it. And that's daily sales.
No, just total sales.
Oh, got it. So once you get like 7 sales of a shirt, so your person that had, you know, made all this money off of an Eclipse sale, they probably tiered up.
The tier ups, this coincided with it getting to be harder to get into Amazon merch. The tier ups do not come as predictably and as often as they used to. So I was very fortunate getting in the program earlier. When I was eligible, I was like, okay, maximum 1 month, I'm going to have to wait and I'm going to get tiered up. Okay. Nowadays, like my fiance, she was in tier 1000 last year.
Okay.
And she had to wait 8 months to get to tier 2000, even though she was eligible the entire 8 months.
Okay.
So sometimes it just is what it is. Like, it doesn't have to take that long, but man, like some people wait a year for a tier up, and I wish I had like an answer. I don't have an answer. Reaching out to them will not work. They, it's not going to help.
We're all familiar with that. All right. So basically, Amazon giveth, Amazon taketh away, so to speak, or at least they're just giveth. They're just on their terms. And they'll tier you up. So you get like tier 10 to maybe 25, 50, whatever.
Yeah, you can't skip. Yeah, you can't skip. So it'll be 25 and then 100.
Got it. So it could take you a while to get to multiple thousands of designs. And you might get a design that totally hits, and then you might, and that might get competition quickly, I would imagine, right?
Yeah, of course. Low barrier of entry. I mean, it leads to competition, as you would expect.
Sure, sure, sure. So once you start getting into higher tiers, like 10 seems like, okay, you could spend an afternoon in Canva or whatever you use to come up with the designs. Well, what about when you get to like 1,000? Like that just seems more overwhelming. Like, you know, how does your fiance or girlfriend?
Yeah, fiance, yeah.
Fiance, sorry. Your fiance, how much time does she spend just trying to keep up with 1,000 spots that she has?
Not enough. I think she kind of like stopped doing her merch account. She's like, you need to do it for me. So that's the honest answer. But speaking to like my journey, like I said, it's gamified, right? Like when I was in tier 10, I could spend an hour, 2 hours doing research, making the best design with the best SEO, right? And then I get out of tier 10, I get to 25. Let's say now in tier 25, I could upload 4 designs a day, let's say. They actually changed how that system worked. So like when I was actually in 25, it worked differently. But like, so to be clear, but if I'm in 25, it's like, okay, now let's say I still have 2 hours a day to work, which might be a lot for some people. So let's just say an hour if you're lucky. Okay.
Okay.
So now I've got 15 minutes to work on each design. My first priority, and this is just me speaking, this is how my brain works. Like I want to fill those slots. So 25 means I can upload, if I'm in tier 10, let's say I had 10, I got 15 more now. I need to fill those because an unfilled upload slot never, ever makes any money. So First things first, I'm filling them and then they allow you to work backwards. You can delete them, right? So let's say you delete one. Now you went from 25 to 24. You can go ahead that same day and upload a whole new design and product listing. You know what I mean? So I always want to fill first and then maybe work on perfection later.
Okay. So you're working on filling the designs and are you having to come up with a listing copy for these as well, like the bullets and whatnot?
Yeah, I should mention. Yeah, great question. Because if our audience is used to Seller Central, like merch is so much simpler.
Okay.
Merch, all they let you access is title, brand, 2 bullet points. Okay, so 4 things.
2 bullet points. Okay.
2 bullet points, bullet 1, bullet 2, and then description. And description doesn't get indexed. So you really only need to focus on like 4 things.
Okay, so are they adding their own bullet points that are standard?
Yeah, based on product type, but they're very basic.
Got it. So you can add 2 bullet points. Do you get like really long and wordy in it? Or are you just looking to like kind of throw in keywords into what sounds like a sentence?
Yeah, I mean, it's a great question again. Like, because they are so strict on the approval rejection algorithm, and it's, as someone who's been in for over 7 years now, like, I straight up tell you, like, I don't even know anymore. Like Angie got rejected. I don't know why, but it did.
Right.
So like, I try not to introduce keywords that are like fringe relevant in the bullets. Mm. I try to say like almost like generic approach every time where it's like, this makes a great gift for, and then my other bullet might just say like, this says X with, and I describe the design. So it's almost, you know what I mean? It's like very to the point. Seldom introduces a new keyword that has the potential to get me, you know, rejected. And my title is really where I hone in. By the way, they give you 60 characters in the title to work with too.
Okay, got it. So you've got limits in your titles and your bullets, probably more so than you would on Seller Central. And you're just trying to fill these spots. When are you saying, okay, this one's just not working and I'm going to pull this design out?
In the low tiers, like I like the idea of turning them over quickly. Like maybe you even, if you have 0 sales, you can just cycle them out like based on when you uploaded them. So as soon as you fill the 10th slot on the 11th day, you can delete the first upload. You see what I'm saying? Cause you gave it 10 days. You gave it like kind of that honeymoon period that hopefully you got some visibility. People, your audience may not like, but you're not going to get any like data at all. like Amazon keeps all of it. You don't get any.
We complain enough.
You know if something sold. You know what I mean? That's about it. You know if it got returned too. You know those two things.
Mm. So, got it. So you know if it got sold.
Ads, you get the data though. That's about it. But you don't even get access to ads until you're in maybe tier 500 or tier 1000.
Okay, got it. So you got to level up a few times before you get access to ads. So let's talk a little bit about some of the numbers since you brought up ads. So like before we get into ads, what does the math look like? You know, since I'm assuming you're not having to worry about FBA fees, you're getting a royalty as opposed to sales minus fees, and then you get the disbursement.
Yep. So do you want me to give you the math?
Please.
Yeah, I had to like redo this, right? And keep in mind, your price point is variable. So it will be unique to you and what you sell at. And also the price points vary by product type, of course.
Hmm.
So for me, I sell the most of the what's called the standard t-shirt. Okay. That's my bread and butter. But I know some people that do way better than, well, they do as good as me, let's say. I know one person actually. I'm not going to try to oversell it. Like I know one person who matched basically my numbers selling phone cases primarily. Basically,
oh, really?
Like, versus my ratio. Yeah. He does almost no t-shirts, but all phone cases. I do almost all t-shirts and barely any phone cases. So it can be done. But let's just go with the most likely scenario here. You're probably selling standard t-shirts at $19.99 and we're just going to keep it in the US market. But keep in mind, you can post these to the five like primary European markets and Japan as well. So like you can get extra money that way. But at $19.99, you get today, as of recording this, because like everything else, it's changed over time. It used to be like a $7.50 royalty. It used to be so nice. It used to be real nice. Today it's $4.89 royalty. It's royalty because we're not like paying for it. So I don't want to say, you know, I just call it royalties. That's what they call it.
Okay, got it. So, but on a basically $20 shirt, you're getting $4.89.
Yeah, so that works out to a 24.5% break even a cost if you're running ads.
Okay. Which if you think about it, isn't bad because you didn't have to pay for, you know, a deposit to China and have it, you know, cycle through the factory and sit on a boat for a month and then sit at the port and then eventually get to you. And then you have to send it into Amazon and the fulfillment center transfers. You just upload it. And theoretically it's available as soon as you upload it, right?
Exactly. Yeah. I mean, within probably a couple hours. Yeah. So, I mean, I was doing FBA and I was doing merch at the same time. And I was like, damn, like merch is so much easier.
Okay. Got it. So basically you could make money fairly quickly now, but what is as I'm sure what a lot of people are probably thinking of, like, but what is the potential? So for someone who's on tier 10, now I know there's outliers like, you know, the Eclipse person or, you know, somebody during an election, you know, when there's just not much going on, you know, what is somebody at tier 10 might look at in sales?
You know, it's definitely going to vary, of course, just to say, like, you know, people's definition of a good design often varies as well. And so the main thing that I like to harp on is your designs just need to be good enough with air quotes. I always do the air quotes because it's subjective. But there's definitely clues left behind by good designs, right? Like if you go look at the bestsellers, I mean, you see patterns often.
Yeah.
Not that it's one size fits all, but you know what I mean? Different niches, different approaches, different color schemes, all those things, right? Consider all of them. But all things created equal, like in tier 10, you know, you're not making, I don't even think you should be trying to make money. I think you should be trying to tier up. I like to worry about making money in like tier 500 at the earliest, if not like 1000, because like, I literally had a call this morning talking to somebody and they were asking me about like, what's next, you know, like as you get to this tier and then this tier. And I kept saying like, you know, it's going to be a while before you tier up. But like I say, like one sale leads to two leads to four. Cause the algorithm starts to understand like what it is you're selling and promote you accordingly. Mm-hmm. But when you go from 1,000 products to 2,000 products or even 25 to 100, you know what I mean? Those little jumps, like they're significant, you know, and allows you to put a little, I think of it as like bidding, almost like putting a bid, like a little chip into different spaces of search interest, you know? And I want to be like, personally, my approach is like, I want to be like indexed in like a bunch of different, even if it's like low volume searches, right? But I still want to have something there. You know what I mean? With a design that's good enough.
Okay.
You know, there's so many ways to design t-shirts, but like, I've got like some of mine that are like my go-tos that I know work over the years. And I just want to put like a little bid in there and have a chance of making a sale. Cause like I'm in tier 200,000 just for reference. Like,
sure.
It never works this way, but like if I have 200,000 designs and they each only sell once a year, just one sale a year at $5 a sale or $4.89, whatever, like call it $5. Like it's still $1 million profit. You know what I mean?
Right.
I'm not doing $1 million, but like in profit, but it's theoretically not that, it's not unfeasible. And I know people that have made six-figure profits in a month. So I know that like those numbers can be achieved, but you lean heavier on ads to get there, most likely.
Okay, got it. But in your example, which is a good one, of if you make one sale a year when you have a big catalog, you know, if you try to do that with FBA, you know, with products that sell one a year, you're going to pay a lot of long-term storage fees, a lot of in-house storage fees. You'll probably lose money on most of them. So that's an interesting one. Whereas, you know, with FBA, sometimes if you have higher SKU counts, you can get away with maybe, you know, if I do one sale a month with a larger catalog, but here you can go on a wider time frame if you're looking at some of these more evergreen niches. Now, how do you make the designs? Are you like going into Adobe Illustrator and like, you know, drawing every single, you know, pixel, so to speak?
Yeah, I'm famously not a great designer. So like I never was great at design. I've been using Photoshop my whole life, even though Illustrator is definitely a better option. If you had to like start from scratch, you want to learn Illustrator before you learn Photoshop for this stuff.
Okay.
But like you mentioned, like Canva is also really good and that's very user friendly. Like it really doesn't matter how you go about producing a good enough design. You just need to like make sure that, you know, that people like it, I guess. Like I could go on a long tangent about like what people usually do wrong, but let's just keep it simple. Like generally speaking, if you make a symmetrical design,
okay,
without like overlapping layers, because there's no need. Like if you're a beginner, don't start overlapping text over a graphic. And you know what I mean? It's like, just focus on like typically big, bold, easy to read text, symmetrical design, good color contrast. You know, it's not, you're not putting gray text on a black shirt. Like, why don't you use white text on a black shirt just to start? You know what I mean? Like these simple principles. And, you know, introducing a graphic is optional and you can design your own graphics, but man, if you go that route, they cannot suck. There's plenty of options like of places you can go where like you can get like commercially licensed graphics. Although this is also a gray area that it can open a can of worms, because sometimes you go and you might buy a graphic and like maybe you bought it on Etsy or you bought it on like some of these other places. That person who sold it to you may have stolen it. You know what I mean? That's just a reality.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, so or even if careful. You get it on like Canva, like their terms of service, even if you have a pro account, it has become more and more like, I think they're getting more, what's the word I'm looking for? Intentionally gray, because they don't even know how to handle it themselves. So there's a lot of people don't necessarily know, you know, how to handle some of these designs that are out there, even fonts too, right?
Yeah. Literally another great example. So it's Amazon, just, I know Amazon Merch is using some AI that is getting better and better to look at all of our design submissions. And, you know, you don't need to be like a genius to know that like when we submit a bitmap format image, which is what's required a PNG, it's rows and columns of pixels. Those equate to zeros and ones behind the scenes and they can be like compared to each other. Amazon Merch, like the same way they don't want duplicate titles in their catalog, they don't want like 2,000 of the same exact graphic submitted. So you just want to be smart about that. Like I prefer like I take a different approach, by the way, based on where I'm selling. I told you I'm on like Etsy, Walmart, eBay, a bunch of other places too. I leverage a lot of automation, by the way, to do this. Like I'm a
worker. Okay, so
I love tech. So
got it. So you start finding out what's working. Is Amazon Merch kind of your testing ground? And then you start, you know, maybe repurposing it on Seller Central and Etsy and elsewhere.
Yeah, merch is like my highest priority, just because again, like sold by Amazon, Prime eligible, enhanced brand content. It's just like, it checks every box, you know?
Yeah.
And you don't have to deal with customer service or returns. It checks every box. So that's my number one priority. And I call it the trickle down. I just let it trickle down to all the other marketplaces. But like how I approach design for Amazon Merch is like, I try to always be unique. Like I don't want to use graphics that I got other places. Now, if I want to sell on Etsy, I'm not scared to do that. Like, I'm just not like, you know, Etsy with Amazon Merch, keep in mind also you upload the raw PNG design file, the print file. You know what I mean? With Etsy, you don't do that. With Etsy, you just upload your own mock-up of what that design looks like on a shirt. And it could be a photo in real life or it could be a digital mock-up, right? So it's not the same level of like if they wanted to really like grill you on Etsy, they're looking at your thumbnail mockup, right? Hmm. Which could be based on CGI in the first place. Sure. Whereas Amazon merch has your raw design file. So they know, like, yeah.
Got it. Okay. So you're going to repurpose it in other places. You use Printful was who you used for.
They have integrations with pretty much every major marketplace, you know, Shopify, Etsy, eBay, Walmart. I love prioritizing those to get started.
Okay. And as I understood it, you use, you're able to incorporate this straight into or link it into like an API with Amazon Seller Central. Printful.
Yes, Printful. Yeah, two clicks. And that's one of the things that makes Printful a little bit unique. Like a lot of their competitors do not have that Amazon integration. So it's very, and I mean, I know this call is not going to go on forever, but like there's a lot of like really cool technology out there, like almost like layer two, or I guess if you call Printful layer two, maybe it's layer three.
Okay.
Like that kind of overlay on top of that, that can use like AI and other automations to, you know, create more products for you basically that still get the automated fulfillment, you know, by Printful.
Okay, got it. So what would be some technologies that people would want to incorporate into a business like this, either for product design or for repurposing?
Yeah, it's, I don't want to get too into the weeds because like we've already thrown a lot hopefully at people. And I love that. Like, hopefully you guys are fans of like what I'm talking about here, but you always want to start small, right? Face the learning curve slowly because it ramps up. It becomes easier. When you get started, there's no need to venture outside of like the basics, you know, I always like to say that. But you know that down the line, I say about 95% of the stuff can be automated. There's design automation that can take place in Canva, in Illustrator. You know what I mean? You can make a design that says world's okayest doctor. And then the part that says doctor, you can make a list of teacher, lawyer, you know, and literally it can make all those for you and spit them out. Then there's other software, like my personal favorite, that's like cutting edge, incredible developer team. So they're always like introducing the latest and greatest advancements in AI. Like if OpenAI has something, it gets integrated within like a couple of weeks and we're able to monetize it. It's called mydesigns.io. That tool is absolutely incredible. They don't have their Seller Central integration yet.
Okay.
They're integrated with Etsy and Shopify right now. And everything they do is like heavy AI and automation for everything we talked about today, but it does everything in bulk. So like, instead of doing something once, you could just literally bulk select up to 120 designs at a time. And then you can make all your product mockups, let AI do your SEO and you can bulk publish 120 at a time to Etsy. So you can literally start an Etsy shop today within an hour, have 1,000 products up, you know what I mean? And they have AI of course built in for designing as well and stuff like that. It's cutting edge. But very accessible to normal people like you and me. Like,
sure. No, that's awesome. So you don't have to be a developer to do all that. So, okay. So if somebody wanted to learn more and follow you, where would they go?
The best place to start is just my YouTube channel. Ryan Hoag Passive Income is what it's called. You could probably like type in Amazon merch into the search bar and I'm assuming I'll pop up there too. So that's what I would say. I also have a really good, like, I'm not a good writer, but I spent 30 hours of my life writing a completely free, like, mini course, if you will. It's a real course. I mean, and all you have to do is join my email list. So it's at ryanhoag.com/subscribe. And like, I will send you one lesson a day for 20 days. It's legit. And it's based on 7 years of experience of me, you know, starting this business, not knowing anything and figuring out what works for me. Like I said.
Got it. So just go to ryanhoag.com, HOGUE.
Yep.
Put in your first name and email and you'll get 85%. That's a pretty good percentage there of your,
you know, who Noah Kagan is. I copied this from him.
Oh, okay. Got it.
Yeah. I copied this from him. I'm a big fan of his. He helped inspire my journey. So,
okay. Well, that's awesome. We'll definitely recommend folks head on over to your website and sign up there just to learn about this, because this could be a good way, as you know, with FBA, there's getting to be more and more fees and whatnot to kind of offset some of those. So if, you know, you're getting hit with inbound charges or low inventory fees or whatever other new fee they dream up, this would be a way to maybe bring some of that back into your business. And you start off on tier 10 and maybe you could be at tier 200,000 like Ryan one day.
Yeah, I've trimmed my FBA SKUs to 3. So, I mean, okay. I used to be up at like 15. Now it's down to 3 because it's just kind of like weighing the what's bringing in the most money for me. And so I keep the best sellers and that's about it.
That's awesome. That's awesome. Well, appreciate you going through all this. And definitely it's a whole other way to make money on Amazon that folks don't think about. And then you can also incorporate that into other channels, including, you know, merchant fulfilled Amazon as well. So this is definitely interesting. Thanks so much.
Yes. Thanks, Kevin, for having me. I appreciate it.
Absolutely.